All right. Well, everybody get a good nap today? No. Somebody dropped a water bottle or something over there. Oh, you know what you dropped, Ben? Is your Listerine cup. I know the sound of that. It's empty. That's good. You use the Listerine. That's helpful. Oh man, Genesis chapter 1, we're going to talk about the image of God, and this will be hopefully educational. Yeah. Probably not as much preaching material in all this, but Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, so we're on day 6. Of creation, and God's going to create the cattle, beasts, all these things that roam the earth, and then create man. But let's read it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind." Of course, we've hit on that every single time we hit it. After its kind, everything is just going to produce after its kind. That's what it's going to produce. It's not going to produce anything else. Just after its kind. Cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Boy, he says after his kind about 100 times there in 2 verses. So if you don't get it, it's right there. Verse 26, so he makes all the cattle, he makes all the creeping things that are on the earth. Day 5, he had made the birds and the fish, and he makes cattle. And then he also does this on day 6, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. So there you have a definition of meat there. That's the first definition of meat. It's just food. In this case, it's vegetables and fruit. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So this is day number 6, and let's pray. And we're gonna really focus in on the creation of man and the purpose that God has for man and what he was doing when he created man. So let's pray, and we'll look at the image of God here. Father, I pray this evening we would learn what we need to learn out of these verses. We thank you for giving us these words and your words on how you created things and even the purpose with which you created them. And I pray that you would feed your flock this evening. Pray you'd help us. Thank you for every soul that's here. And thank you for your words. And I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, there's a few things in these verses that we'll discuss. The creation of the cattle and all that, that's kind of self-explanatory. So day 6, maybe you didn't know that. You didn't know that God not only created man on day 6, but he also created cattle and all that stuff on day six too. So all that stuff gets created on day six, and then God looks over all the cattle and all the animals that are on the earth, and it was probably in his plan to do this, but he looks over all the creatures that he's made, the animals, the fish, the birds, and everything, and he decides to make a representation, really, of himself on the earth. He says, we're going to make God in our image. And an image is a representation. It's a physical representation. And I've heard all kinds of things about man being made in God's image, the body, soul, spirit, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is an image is a physical representation. It's what it looks like. Has the qualities and the just like your imagination, you make images in your head. It's these representations. So man is a representation of God on the earth, and God makes man in order to have dominion over all the creatures that he's made, and he's going to put man in a garden. You'll see that in Genesis 2. And so the idea is man would be might have heard it said, the crown of creation or something like that, but he is the sort of the top of the line when it comes to what he creates on earth. Now all this stuff's going to change very quickly here early on in Genesis, but I shouldn't say it's going to change, it's going to be perverted very quickly. But at this point in time, he says it's very good. And really there's three or four things just I want to focus on here. The first thing is the image. In verse 26, the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image. Now you could say that is God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all that. Except the Holy Spirit is a spirit and he doesn't have but necessarily an image or anything, and it's when you read in Job and the angels are all gathered around, and I'll show you a couple of verses about this. I think what God's saying simply, when he's looking down at the earth that he's created and he's about to create man, I think he's just talking to the angelic hosts that are up there. And he says, let's make man in our image. And the reason I say that, I'm going to show you a couple verses, but you will find throughout the Bible, and I know you've heard it said this way, but you will find throughout the Bible that when angels appear on earth, they always look like men. The reality, I think, is different than that. It's that men have the form of angels. They are created in that image. And so I'll give you a couple of verses on that. Look in Genesis chapter 18. So when God says, let's make man in our image, you could say maybe he's talking about the Trinity or something like that, but I think more so it's more likely that he's just talking to the whole angelic host in heaven and going to make man in the image of these angels, but he's just going to make man a little bit lower than the angels, like he'll say in Hebrews. Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the door, in the tent door, in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. All right, I put you in the middle of a context there, but does anyone know what's going on in Genesis 18? Who's at the tent door there? Who's this? Abraham. It's Abraham and angels. And notice the angels aren't called angels, they're just called what? Men. They're just men. And so you'll see this over and over in the Bible where when angels show up, they look like men, and oftentimes they're just called men. They're just a different flesh, a different, they weren't made from the dirt like mankind is. They're something else. And just like he says in Corinthians, there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies and things like that. We do Genesis 6 and all that stuff. But we'll do it when we get to it. But I don't think it's necessarily that angels take on the form of men. I think it's just angels. Men were just created in the form of angel. That's what we look like. We just have that fashion after us. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." So that's what he does. So the image part of this, the physical representation. I'm not going to take you all through the Bible with the angel thing. I just wanted to show you that one. And there's others in Daniel and other places, but I think you get the idea. So the image of God is a physical representation. What is the appearance? What does it look like? So God's going to make this form, this man, going to breathe into him life. And the next thing he's going to do is he's going to set him over all the creation that he's already created, or at least everything that's on the earth. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" There you go. That's what it looks like. "After our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. All right? He puts man over all the things on the earth. Let me give you a couple verses about that. Look in Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 5. Psalm chapter 8, verse 5, dealing with the creation of man. He says this, verse 4 for the context. He says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." And that's exactly what he did. When he looked around and he said, "Let's make man in our image." And so he makes man, but man is not placed in heaven, man is placed down on the earth. "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." So there's a good description of what you just read in Genesis chapter 1. God creates man, and he sets him over all of this creation and gives him dominion over the animals that he's created on the earth. And I'll give it to you one more time. Here's a New Testament reference to it. Look in Hebrews chapter 2. I'll give you one more reference to that dominion he gives to man. Hebrews chapter 2, it's the cross-reference or quoting of Psalms 8, but we can read it here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, wherever we speak." He's not putting the angels over with the world to come. But then he says this, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, 'What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Now you maybe you kind of see why Jesus Christ became a man. Had to be born of a woman and be a man, because it was man that God put on the earth to subdue all things on the earth. And very, very shortly after Genesis 1, that's going to be perverted and it's going to be messed up by this wicked spirit that shows up. And so man is going to be influenced. He's going to be perverted. And Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, is now going to become, or now I wouldn't say has an obligation, but he's chosen to become a man and subdue all things under his feet. Or God the Father is going to work with him on that, you could say. And verse 10, we'll just keep reading this. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We'll stop. I mean, you get the idea. Hebrews chapter 2 is describing the humanity of God Almighty in the flesh in Jesus Christ, and the purpose with which he has that that function, I guess you could say. But so God puts all the way back in the beginning, after creation, he creates man in his own image. And then, according to the Bible, these angels have the same image. They look like man. They don't have wings or any of that kind of stuff. And the only difference is man is put a little bit lower than the angels. He's not set up in heaven. He's set up on the earth. So his dominion is the earth. Man's dominion is the earth. It's not heaven. It's the earth. And so, again, After this chapter, it's going to kind of go south, but you see why Jesus Christ, one of the reasons Jesus Christ becomes a man and is going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years, because he's going to bring everything into subjection, just like the original plan was with God creating everything like he did. Back over in Genesis 1, we'll look at a couple of more things real quick. Not a whole lot more, but you get the idea. Some of this stuff is very self-explanatory. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. There's a slight difference that God does with man that he doesn't do with the angels. With the angels, he doesn't create them male and female, but with man he does. He's going to create a male and female, and because they're on the earth, and just like he had told every other thing he had created on the earth to multiply, he's going to do the same thing with man. He puts man on the earth, and he's going to make male and female, and he's going to tell them to multiply. So he says this in verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's a little bit different than the angels. But the idea is he's going to have mankind create, procreate, reproduce, multiply, just like everything else he had told to multiply on the earth. And verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So you get the idea. Man's dominion is the earth. That's what God put man here for, is to live and to have dominion over the earth. Then, verse 29. God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So just a note here, I don't think any of y'all have this trouble, but just a note here. God, before sin ever enters the world, God gives man, he gives animals, particularly man here, he makes vegetation, fruits, vegetables to be eaten. So I like I said, I don't think any of y'all have this trouble. There is, I can't think of a place in Genesis 1. Animals are called life. People are called life. Plants are not called life. They're never called life. They act life. I mean, they can grow. They can take up nutrients. They can take in sunlight. They can reproduce and things like that. But you don't necessarily see them being called life, particularly. Now you'll see a tree of life later on, but before you get too crazy with all the we're killing off the plants and all things like that. That was what God set up before sin ever entered the world. That was the purpose, was that the plants would be for food, the vegetables, the fruits. He said, every herb I've given it to you to eat. So, like I said, I don't think y'all have that trouble. I don't think we're too worried about that. But it's just a note, just something to make note of, that all of the plants, all the vegetation was given to man to eat. And then he says this in verse 31. And this is noteworthy. And we'll read the verse. Verse 31. God saw everything that he had made. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Everything. He made sun, moon, stars. He had made the vegetation. He made the fish. He had made the cattle. He had now made man. Everything he had made. He had boxed in the seas, or boxed in the water and called it seas. Everything he had done. And he said this. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. Very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, I'll just make this little statement or comment about this. When you come across the devil in Genesis 3, he is already coming against mankind. And we'll get to it when we get to Genesis 3. Some folks, and I know you've probably heard this, teach that there's between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there's this catastrophic thing and all this, you know, gap and all that kind of stuff. You can believe it or not believe it, it doesn't really make any difference. But when I read this at the end of Genesis 1, it looks like at this point in time, everything is fine. It looks like there's nothing wrong with what's been created at this point in time. There's nothing wrong with it. And when you read about Satan's fall, again, we'll get to it in Genesis 3, but Jesus Christ says, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. And people say, well, it's like electricity or whatever. It's not like electricity. It's just the speed with which he fell was so fast. He was this anointed creature in heaven, and the speed in which he plunged in pride and fell from his place was so fast. When you read about it in Genesis 3, I think that may be where he fell. That may be the time. That may be it. We'll get to it when we get to Genesis 3. But when you read the last verse of Genesis chapter 1, it looks like everything is A-okay. Everything's good. There's no problems with creation. God doesn't have any trouble with what he's done. There's no battles to fight. There's nothing dying. No, there's no problems with any of it. So he looks over all of it, and it looks like he says it's not only is it good, but it's very good, and he's happy with it. And again, I know we talked about it the last couple weeks. All of this before sin enters the world, God creates animals. He creates plants. He creates fish. He creates all of these creatures before sin. So God's intent was to have all of creation that you see just like it is, except without sin. So people say, well, how are we gonna eternal life? What is that gonna be like? Well, if you can just imagine all of creation without sin, that's what eternal life is like. Is everything you see, the plants, the animals, just take away the sin, if you can even imagine such a thing. And you just enjoy the creation that God created. And so God looks over everything he's done in the last 6 days here. Sixth day, he said, the morning and the evening were the sixth day. He looks over everything he's done, and he says, it's not just good, it's very good. this is very good. And it won't take long, and things are going to go south. But that is Genesis. That's the end of Genesis 1. That's day 6. And maybe you didn't know, maybe you do now, that on day 6, it wasn't just the creation of man, it's the creation of cattle. And then putting man on top of all of that to have dominion over everything that he's created on the earth. And that man's residence, the place that God wants man, he puts him on the earth to have dominion over all that stuff. And just a few interesting points. Man's in the image of God. Looks like he's also in the image of these angelic hosts. He's just made it a little bit lower than the angelic host. But when the angelic host shows up on the earth periodically, they always look like men. They just look like men. Not because they look like men, but I think because men just look like them. And that's the image we have. So we don't have the image of a dog or an elephant or anything like that. You got the image of the angelic host there. So there's a few things, just a few thoughts, educational maybe, hopefully, educational, a few verses, and that is day 6. And next week we'll start with Genesis chapter 2 and get some more details about the creation of man and some of these other details that he puts in the Garden of Eden. But let's pray, and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. It is helpful to remember our Creator. Lord, you are mighty. You are powerful. You just say the words, and things exist. And I pray we would get out of these verses what we need to get out of them. Maybe we've learned a little bit more about man and the purpose of man and what you're doing with man, which really leads to Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ is going to do when he rules and reigns this earth. Father, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words that you've given us. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for justification. Thank you for peace with God. Lord, I thank you that you even considered saving lost creation, lost souls, and sinners that brought sin into the world. Lord, thank you for that. And I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.